And this is the first of these sessions, and it's God is Able. Now, Mike, before we started this, gave us a whole sort of breakdown of what these all were. I thought I was having to do all seven today. He said, oh, no, only the first one. So I had to cut a lot out, you know, but never mind. So God is Able. And yesterday's, we got this Apples of Gold calendar at home. I can recommend those. Come from South Wales, brilliant things. And yesterday it was this, 2 Timothy 2:15. Present yourselves to God as workmen who correctly handles the word of truth. That's an awesome thing for a preacher to think about, isn't it? Correctly handle the word of truth. And the only way we do that is to rely upon the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what the word is saying. So let's just pray now for the Holy Spirit to be in our assembly. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to read your word, an opportunity not given to everybody in the world yet, but we've had this wonderful book for many, many years, handed down to us over the generations, and we thank you for it. We treasure it, Lord. It's a veritable treasure chest of your words and what you have done for us. So be with us today, be with my words, and may your grace be evident to us all today. In the Saviour's name, amen. So there's a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 to 10. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God is able. That's the first of these sessions. And, you know, this is an amazing fact. God is able. And as we read there, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written. He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the church in Romans, described Abraham like this. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's an important phrase. God is able to do what he had promised. Now, we're facing, very soon, I guess, a general election. We just had the local council election, haven't we? The general election. I've no doubt that all the parties involved will be making fantastic promises. Lots of promises. What they're going to do if you elect them. What they're going to do when they get in. But quite often, I'd say more often than not, those promises are never fulfilled. Why is this? Well, first of all, they don't know what will happen in the future. They've got no idea what might happen. They don't know what Putin might do. He might suddenly decide to invade Poland or something stupid like that. They don't know what half the evil rulers of the world are going to do, what Hamas are going to do, what Israel are going to do. They don't know. It's all speculation on their part. They don't know what will happen in the future. But God does. He knows what will happen tomorrow, in an hour's time, in a year's time. He knows the future. And they don't have complete control over events. They might think they have, And they might have in a limited way in where they're ruling, like despots. But over events generally, they have no control whatsoever. No control whatsoever. But God does. He controls everything that happens in this world. Every single item of every day. And they might find they do not have the funds to carry out their promises. You know, we're going to solve the NHS. And then they get in power and they can't afford it. They haven't got the money. I remember once one election, I forget who got knocked out. Another party got in. I think it was Labour got knocked out and Conservatives came in. And in the financial part, there was a notice on one of the desks, "Sorry, we've spent all the money." Anyone remember that? Yeah, I remember that. They've got limited funds. They've got limited ability. They don't know what's going to happen. But God has no such constraints. He is able. And we must hold on to that now. He can direct everything. And then in a very famous verse in Jeremiah chapter 10 to 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that's that condition there is very important. When you seek me with all your heart. This promise comes with a condition. As a church, as individuals, are we fulfilling that condition? Is that our priority in all that we are seeking to do? The elders have to plan, have to have meetings, sort out what's going to happen. But as a church, as members, individuals, are we following this condition? Are we making it the first priority to seek God with all of our heart, to put him first in everything? Can we claim, as a fellowship and as individuals, to be seeking God with all our heart? I want to pray that God, in his sovereign mercy, will put this desire into our hearts, that he will give us this urgent desire to seek him with all of our hearts. We were talking about football, Roger and I, earlier. Of course, Leeds United are meeting up with Norwich in the playoffs. And he's a Norwich supporter. And I'm sort of a Leeds United supporter, mainly because my Uncle Bert, for many years, had a season ticket to go and watch them at Elland Road. Died long ago. But what is our desire? What is the foremost of our hearts, foremost in our thinking? Is it that we want to seek and serve God with all, all that means? He needs to put that into our hearts, and I pray he will do as a church and as individuals. And then we read this in Habakkuk. I feel very sorry, for that guy, Habakkuk. He was complaining to God. Now, you might think that's not a good thing to do, is it? Complain to God. I don't know. Perhaps sometimes it is. Perhaps he can see what's really important to us if we start and complain about it. If we start to tell him how we feel about things. And he answered this complaint of Habakkuk, and it was a very strange way. "Look among the nations," he said, "and see, wonder and be astounded. For I'm doing a work in your days that if you would not believe it if you were told." And what did he say? "I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. He was sending the Chaldeans into the land. And, you know, he was using these Chaldeans to do that. And he moves the nations to do his will. You know, they didn't know that. They thought they were just deciding what to do. But what I'm trying to put over to you is that in any even global thing, God is at work. Even in those nations where they are totally godless. I think it was Enver Hoxha, the ruler of Albania, wanted to make Albania the first atheist estate. And he put one of his men to listen into the broadcast from the sort of Bible, was it World? Can't remember the name of it now. Transworld Radio, that's the one. Thank you, Mary. Good job, I've got a memory over there, isn't it? And he put one of his men to listen to those broadcasts to get information. But he didn't get information, he got the Lord. He was saved. I've got a book about it at home if you want to borrow it. That's how God can work. You see, Hoxha thought he was doing his thing. I'm going to stamp out religion. I'm going to stamp it out. You go and listen to their broadcast and get the propaganda from them. And the man was saved. You can't beat that, can you? The very thing that they thought was working against God, God used to bring someone to salvation. And that was the start of the church in Albania, which we know our brother Will is working hard in now to bring the gospel to that region. But, you know, that's what God can do. And then he says this. Well, then you think that Habakkuk, I guess, was hoping for some miracle to restore the nation. Instead, God sent the Chaldeans to invade. What if Putin decides to invade Europe? This is what God says. Hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. God doesn't need anything from us at all. You know, my father-in-law, Francis' father, was a farmer. So I got a little bit of knowledge how valuable cattle were in those days, probably even more now. But they were very valuable things. If you lost a cow or a sheep, it was a big thing. That was their livelihood. But God says, you know, I've got the cattle on a thousand hills. I don't need your sacrifices at all. And, you know, it's amazing what God can do and what he can promise us. C.T. Studd, a famous missionary worker, said this, God's work done in his way will never, never lack his supply. Now, C.T. Studd came from a very wealthy family, but when he was called by God to the work of mission, he gave it all away. Apart from, he kept back £10,000. Now, we're talking in the sort of late 1800s, early 1900s now. So £10,000 in those days were a lot of money. You could do a lot with £10,000. And he kept that because he'd asked a fellow missionary lady to marry him. And he told her, so I've kept this £10,000 back. If anything happens to me, you will be okay. You know what she said to him? Charlie, if you don't give that away, I ain't going to marry you. So to give that away as well. And they lived by faith. By faith, not by sight. And she knew that she had a God who would meet her every need. And so do we. And we have a God whom we can trust, a God who is able. What is our view of our finances as a church? Is that the be-all and end-all? It is important. We've got various bodies to satisfy. The Charity Commission for one of them. And woe betide you if you fall foul of them. You could be in very serious trouble. And you've got various things in, you've got various things in place to make sure that the finances of the church are run on a proper level. And that's absolutely right, what we should do. But our finances come from God himself. He is our supply. He is the one that is our great provider. So are we as individuals and as a church fellowship seeing God as our great provider? You know, I've been, how many years have I been retired now, dear? Quite a few, isn't it? 20. Over 20. I've been retired for over 20 years. Would you believe that? Now, when I started out, and, you know, the first firm I resigned from and moved, I was paying into their pension fund. And I asked one of the pension advisors, you know, if I retired at, say, 65, how much would that give me, you know, a week to live on, you see, 10 shillings a week. And I thought, well, that wasn't worth a lot then. It's worth, and, you know, it does worry you a bit. So I've got a wife and a family to look after. But God orchestrated it for me wonderfully. And in his provision, we can live quite comfortably and help other people too. It was when I first joined British Rail, I was at a roving sort of remit, and I used to travel between the offices in Reading, London, York, Glasgow, and Birmingham. And so I was always about out on the road or on the trains in the morning. And it just happened one Friday, I happened to be in the office at Paddington when the people from the Railway Pensions Group called. And I said, oh, I've got a question for you. I've got a couple of private pensions, which I don't think are going to amount to much. If I move them into the Railway Pension Fund, can I do that? They said, oh, yeah. If you tell us what the amounts are, we'll tell you how many years service you can get for that, you see. Was it, I think, about 15 years extra service or something? And yeah, and that was just God orchestrating that for me. And we can leave things to him, can't we? Can't be foolish. We can't be affiliate, you know, sort of spend money like water, but we can trust him because he is able. Those cattle on a thousand hills are still his. The gold and those mines are still belong to him. And he'll provide all our need according to his riches in glory. And I want us to go today to realize that, to put our trust in the God who is able. You know, I've mentioned politicians, and I'm no doubt we'll be hearing some more from them in the future as the elections loom and all sorts of promises will be made. So they'll get rid of the boat people, they'll solve the financial crisis and all sorts of things. But who knows? They don't know. But the Lord does know, and we can put our trust in him because God is able. May his Holy Spirit enable us to trust in the God who is able. Amen. Thank you.